This morning I would like to introduce to you our guest speaker, McLean Jones. He is from Snohomish Community Church in Snohomish, and he is on the board of directors of Antioch Adoptions, and yeah, so I'd like to like you guys to give him a warm welcome.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Welcome. You know, it's always humbling to be invited into a new family, to have a chance to share with people what's on my heart, and hopefully find a way that it connects to you as well. So, I was asked to come up here today to talk in general terms about adoption, but I also know that adoption is not necessarily a topic that's going to connect to everybody here in the audience. So, before you kind of tune out and think, oh, I'm going to, you know, look through my book or color on pages or whatever, I think there's going to be some bits in here that will really relate to every single person in here as we go through this. I also found it interesting as I watched the beginning of your service that Paul shared about the Reformation, which I don't come from a Lutheran background or anything, so that was actually news to me, but it's amazing how much your message this morning is going to parallel with some of the stuff I'm going to say, including some scripture right out of Romans. So God doesn't do things by accident, does He? Anytime I've gone to a presentation or a sermon, one of the number one questions I've always had in my mind is, what can I learn today that will help me reflect God in the community? That's what you want to make sure that you're here to listen to anytime you hear a sermon. How can I take that information, internalize it, and reflect God's image back to society? Okay? Well, today we're going to talk about a very specific area of God's will, and that is God's will in adoption. It doesn't mean you have to adopt to reflect God's will in adoption. But we're going to talk about that. In order to know how to reflect His will, you have to know a little bit about it. And so that's what I really want to share here today. By a show of hands, just raise your hand if you have already been touched by adoption, meaning you've already adopted somebody, or you yourself were adopted. Okay, just a small handful. Okay, some people not sure if they're quite adopted or not. I'm not sure. Okay, we'll come back to that. Okay, we'll ask that question again a little bit later. Let me tell you a little bit about my background, since I'm some stranger standing up here. My family's here in the front row. My wife and I, we've been married for 14 and a half years. And after 6 years and two kids later, we already knew before we actually got married we wanted to adopt. But after 6 years and two kids, we said, well, gosh, okay, we're going to stop here. We're going to adopt our other kids. But we're not quite financially ready. Single income, Seattle house, you know, Seattle market. There's no way I can come up with the cash for that. But you know what? God has put it on our heart to adopt, so I know He's going to provide, right? So we figure, you know what? We're going to give God 5 years to provide. We had this in our head, you know, I think He will have provided. Now, our picture of that was He was going to give me a raise. He was going to give, you know, we were going to win the lottery. I don't know what it was, but somehow financially, God was going to provide for our adoptions. We were a little surprised that that's not how it happened. 5 years came and went. Our financial situation hadn't changed at all. As a matter of fact, I had even not realized it had been 5 years. But it's as if 5 years prior, I had sort of made a deal with God. I don't remember that deal. I never saw the paper or signed a document. But somehow He knew 5 years was up, and you're not following through with adoption, so He kind of had to tap me on the shoulder a little bit. Or knock me upside the head. I'm not sure which. In a period of 5 days, God brought adoption back into my life in 3 times in 5 days. So, He wanted to make sure that I remembered the deal I had made with Him. Or that we had. And those 3 sessions were all related to this agency I had never heard of called Antioch Adoption. The first one was hearing Pastor Hutch on the radio, who founded Antioch Adoption 11 years ago, and sharing a little bit about it on Focus on the Family. And it I didn't hear the whole thing. I just heard it mentioned as I was passing through and thought, oh, and it just got my mind thinking. Didn't go any further. So the next thing was we were at a pizza party for our soccer team. And one of the families said, hey, we just got news. We're going to get our kids from, you know, we're getting a placement from Antioch Adoption next week. And they were getting ready to have their kids move into their home in just a couple of weeks. And they were telling us about this process at Antioch Adoption. So now I had the chance to say, I heard this guy, Pastor Hutch, share about that. Tell me more. Got a little bit more information. Didn't even mention, oh, Katie was there, but we didn't talk about it after that night. We just, oh, that's kind of cool. So it took three times. The third time was a phone call. Get the phone call. It's a friend of ours. And Ryan says, McLean, my wife and I just signed up for an orientation class at Antioch Adoptions. And we knew you guys had talked about adoption too, so we signed you up. So we figured, you know, third time, hit upside the head. So we went to that class, and the rest is quite history. As a result of that, I'll come back and share a lot of the details as we get through them, but as a result of that, I now speak on this topic of adoption quite frequently and teach that very class that I went to back in November of 06. And it was that class where Brian and Jocelyn had a chance to hear me speak when they came to investigate, and that presentation is what led me to be here today. So thank you, Brian and Jocelyn. So as I share today, I want you to remember that we're not just, I will talk about our adoption, I will talk about Antioch adoption and what we typically think of as adoption, like bringing kids to our family. But we're going to go deeper to that. We're going to go into the area where God, how does God view adoption, and how important and pivotal is it to our relationship with Him? So first thing, let's take a look at the word adopt. Webster's Dictionary actually has a definition, has five different definitions for the word adopt. You know, one thing adopts the properties of another, so there's more than just bringing kids into your home. But there's one definition, the first one on the list, that actually is very specific to what we're dealing with here today. And it says to take by choice into a relationship, especially to take as one's own child. To take by choice. Own child. I mean, those are powerful, powerful words. So let's take a look at what it means when God says that. We are going to turn to some scripture here. Okay? I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, and they're probably going to put it up on the back there. There it is. This first scripture, if you want to turn into your Bibles, is Romans 8, 12 through 17. We will turn to a second scripture in a moment as well. As you're turning to that, one of the things our church started doing a few years ago, just started doing it on occasionally, and now it's actually turned into a habit, and I'd like to do that here as well, is when we do read the Word, we go ahead and we stand up as a congregation. So go ahead and stand up. We're going to try something new here. Okay? But we'll read the Word. I'm going to read two passages, so we'll go ahead and stay standing for both readings. But the first one is Romans 8, 12 through 17. Now this is from the English Standard Version. I don't know which version you have, but the one on the screen is the English Standard. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit, and we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. While you're still standing, we'll go ahead and turn to Galatians. Give you a chance to find Galatians 4, 1 through 7. They'll also have it up on the screen right there. Okay? I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the Father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. May God bless His word. Please be seated. So isn't it interesting how those scriptures tie right into what Paul shared about the Reformation? About the fact that it's not about what we do. Okay? There is nothing we can do to earn that kind of privilege. Just like there's nothing that Carly and Caleb could have done to earn their position in our family. We made our choice to call them our own. Just as God has made that choice to call us His own. So I think Webster had it right. That adoption is purely a choice. And it's a choice to bring something, a child, a family member, into your family and having no difference from any other family member whatsoever. It's that kind of unconditional love, the kind of love that says you don't earn it, I just make that choice, that I first experienced when I was a baby. When I was 10 months old, my father died of cancer. It left my mom and my two brothers behind, and a couple of years later, about 2.5 years old, my mom remarried. Now, my father could have raised us, my new adopted father could have raised us as stepsons, later had his daughter and raised her as his daughter, but he told my mom, I want to, it's his choice, to adopt these two boys as my own. Partially from his point of view, that if something ever happened to her, he would have the freedom to raise us. And from our point of view, that if anything happens to him, we have our full inheritance from him. Not just a financial inheritance, but we were raised having zero difference between the two of us and my sister, whom he raised from birth. So that was my first experience with adoption. And that was the little drop in the bucket that made me realize that there truly is no difference. That the fears of things like, I don't know if I could love somebody else's child. They're not somebody else's once you choose them into your family. So that experience touched me so much early in life. So that I prayed when I obviously at 2 years of age, you're not actually thinking about my future family and all that sort of stuff. But as I got older in life, and that was always part of my life, I prayed that since I already had adoption in my heart, that God would bring me a wife that also felt the same. Because otherwise there might be some conflict there. And He did answer that prayer when He brought me Katie. So that was wonderful. Years later, when we made the choice, not just Katie and I in this situation, we already had two children as well. When the four of us made the choice to bring new children into our home, we knew that they would come in and be full family members in our home, having no difference whatsoever. And that happened, gosh, that would have been May of 08 when they moved in, November of 08 when that was legally finalized. So no difference at that point at all. They came with baggage. They came with history. They came with flaws. No different than the flaws of the kids we already had or the flaws that we already have. But with all that baggage and all that history, we bring them into our home as our own. Now, if my father, who I grew up with, and my wife and I, who are flawed human beings, can offer that kind of unconditional love to someone not their own, how much better is the unconditional love from an all-imperfect God? And that's the adoption I want to focus on here today. Remember, Romans 8:15 tells us that we do not have a spirit of slavery. We are not governed by fear. We have a spirit of adoption brought in by His love. We came to Him with baggage. We came to Him in bondage. And we came to Him with a pretty high bail. Think of the price He paid to free us from that, to free us from slavery, to make it so that we were ready and willing and able to accept His love. As Christians, we know that, you know, as I grew up in the church, I did not understand what that relationship was. I knew who Christ was. I knew about Christ. So prior to 24 years of age, I was a stepson. I wasn't yet adopted. I grew up thinking I was the same, not understanding the difference. It wasn't until I was 24 that I accepted that free gift He gave us to say, I am now His son. A lot of people are in that situation because of the baggage that they have, feeling that they can't earn it. They can't pay the penance. They can't do enough to earn that position in God's favor. And Romans tells us it's not about what we do to earn it. It's about His perfect love. But we get so tied up on our past sometimes. We get so hung up on what we've done in our past that we can't get beyond it. And I've got a little clip here that they're going to cue up for me in a second. This is a clip that talks about, yes, while the past is important to learn from, it does no longer define you if you are adopted by God. So we've got a past. You might recognize the characters from the classic theater, Disney. Disney's Lion King. Go ahead and play that.
Yeah, but it's not easy. I know what I have to do, but going back means I'll have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long. Ow! Jeez, what was that for?
It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. Ah! You see? So what are you going to do?
First, I'm going to take your stick.
No. Not the stick. Hey! Where are you going?
I'm going back.
Good. Come on! Get down!
You can either run from it, or you can learn from it. I worked really hard to find a Disney clip that I could play into this somehow. I just, you know, it's just not complete without Disney, right? You can either run from your past, or you can learn from it. God does erase our past from His view. He does forget it. But we sit there and say, well, I can't forget it. I can't forget what I've done. I can tell you right now, you know, I know that we're close to the Monroe Prison here, and maybe some of you have visited there. Maybe some of you are former visitors or guests of that facility. I'm not sure, but my guess is that there's no one in this room who has a past worse than Saul, worse than Paul, who wrote a third of the New Testament. Okay, this was a man murdering Christians. Just because they believed. I would guess by the fact that he wrote a third of our New Testament, that he started the basis of all the churches, the beginning and the first churches, I would think God kind of found favor with him. And it had nothing to do with his past. So think about that. So those of you who are sitting in this room today, who have already accepted Christ into your heart, okay, think back to that question I asked at the very beginning. And I won't ask for a show of hands now, but when I said how many of you have been adopted, I think the hands would be a little different than the first time I asked that question. Okay? So that I want you to realize that. But I also realize that in a room this large, there could be someone in this room that was like me before 24 years old. There could be someone in this room who hasn't made that acceptance yet. For whatever reason, shape, or form. Okay? And I want you to realize that it's that simple. That God has already put His hand out and said, I want you in my family. I don't want you to just know me. Do you realize that Satan knows God? Satan is aware of His power and His holiness, knowing God and being in a personal relationship with God are two different things. Being adopted into His family and being His own son or daughter. That's what's important. That's what I want you to think about. If that's you in this room, I want to give you that opportunity. I want to give you that chance to make that connection with God. Not singling anybody out or doing an altar call and running up here or anything like that. I know some churches do that, but some people find that uncomfortable. But I want you to have that chance just in the quietness of your own heart, if that's you. And if you don't know what it takes, I'm going to even lead a simple little prayer on what it says to ask God to go ahead and be your Father. Now, I'll pause for a second. There's a bumper sticker that I see all the time that says, God is my co-pilot. I do not want you to ever have that bumper sticker on your car. Okay? And the reason is because God does not belong in the co-pilot seat. God is your pilot. God is your dad. I want you to realize that. He is not your co-pilot. So, if we can go ahead and bow our heads, and those of you who are feeling drawn and saying, you know what, maybe this is my time. Maybe this is my chance to say, God, I want to be a family member. I want to be your child. I want to be brought in like that. Then if you just pray along with me in your heart, okay? It's very simple. God, I'm amazed that you would want me with all my past, with all my baggage, and it floors me. It shocks me that you would want me as part of your family, as your own child. But I want to accept that gift. I want to know you better. I want to learn more about you. I want to please you. I know I will continue to mess up. I will continue to fail, and I will continue to fall short of your expectations. But I also know that you've paid the price for that, Father. That you put your own son on the cross to pay my price, past, present, and future. I want to serve you. I want to be your child. Please accept your place in my heart. Amen. If you've just said that prayer for the first time in your heart, congratulations, you're adopted. You have a new family now. So, prior to that, you were an orphan. You may not have felt like it, but you were an orphan. The Bible uses the word slaves. We were a slave to the sin. Okay, we were an orphan from His family. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about our present day orphans. God does call us to care for the orphans, and we'll share a little bit about that in James 1:27. If we can throw up another scripture here. Now, this is a different version. This is the New Living Translation. But James 1:27 does say that pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for the orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Leaving the world, the corruption of that world, and joining your new family. But what do you do with that? Remember the question, how do we reflect God's will in adoption? Caring for the orphans is clearly stated that is pure and undefiled religion in God's eyes. Now, the Bible's very clear that we are all called to adopt, are all called to care for the orphans, but we're not all called to adopt. Okay? What does that mean, care for the orphans? I don't know. That's different for everybody. Okay? When a caring person caring people that I've met with, when they hear of a cause or a need, they strive to see how they can help in some way, shape, or form. Not everybody can help with every need brought to their attention. I understand that. But anytime God brings a need to your attention in this world, you should pray about why. Why is God making you aware of that? How should you respond to the need He's put before you? And how can you reflect His will in society. I realize that for some people that might be to adopt. My wife and I have responded that way. Richardsons, got your last name right. The Richardsons are responding that. For some people that might mean actually adopting a child and bringing them into your family. For some people that might mean financially supporting an adoption or a ministry or a cause, caring for the orphans here or abroad. Others might be just praying for the children. We had one lady come to our class a couple of times ago, and for the last 3 years, she has diligently got onto a website that has all these orphans in the state of Washington, Oregon, and Idaho, the Puget Sound area, and she has literally gone page by page, picture by picture, praying for these children. That's how God has called her to respond. He'll call us all differently. Okay? So, let's get back to how we responded. I'll share a little bit more in detail about that. When we first set out for this adoption story, I would say it was a little bit more on an internal, I would almost say selfish side. It was about us, it was about our family, it was about completing our family. It wasn't that God was saying, you know, go care for the orphans. I wasn't looking at it from that perspective. It was saying, hey, we want to care for more children even if we can't have them ourselves. God used that process, though, to really change our heart and really open us up to what this was all about. As we went through here, we started learning more about God's will in this process. We started learning more about all the fears we had in our brain from Lifetime movies and everything else going on out in society today and how ridiculous all of that was. And He just started pulling away the fear, pulling away the fear. Remember, we do not have a spirit of fear. Okay? That is not from Him. That's from the enemy. And God just sat there and stripped it away. And we went through this process. I had no clue how much it would change not only my relationship with Katie and our other kids, but how much it would change my relationship with my earthly father who adopted me, and how much it would change my relationship with my heavenly father who also adopted me. This process has brought me closer to both of those fathers, and it's been a wonderful experience. We've had the opportunity to show unconditional love. We've had an opportunity to deal with children who, can you believe it? They're not perfect. That's right. You're not. Yeah, he rolls his eyes at me. We've had the opportunity to care for these kids and to show them an unconditional love that they've never had before. And how much that has melted away their past has blown our mind. Has it completely eliminated? Of course not. Okay? Because we're all human. And even though I show unconditional love as much as possible, I make mistakes too. Okay? You're not supposed to agree with that. Like I said. Okay. So, almost a year after our adoption was complete, I started feeling God really tugging at my heart, going, okay, you've done your thing. You know, McLean, I've helped provide you and Katie, you know, more family. What are you going to do now to reflect that out to society? What are you going to do now to help others? And I reached out to Antioch and I said, how can I help? He said, well, you're already a speaker and a trainer and, you know, why don't you come teach our classes? So I said, sure. I started teaching the classes and the orientation classes and the training. And we went from doing 4 a year to now we do 12 a year. And my wife wonders, are you serious? Okay. And now we seek opportunities like this to speak. It was that kind of a presentation that let Brian and Jocelyn to see and hear and go, wow, you know, we can change this as well. Yeah. Then they asked me, you're not supposed to keep agreeing. Then they asked me to join the board and be part of this ministry. It has totally morphed our life. It really has. Instead of just saying, okay, we've completed our task and now we've moved on, it's like it kept a grip on us. And it pulled us back. It pulled us back into a relationship where we're not just bettering our relationship with our kids, but we're helping other couples do the same. We're helping spread the word on what this adoption is about. And we're helping spread the word on what the issues and problems are with orphan care in our state today. That's a little bit I want to finish with here, is the plight of the orphan. Okay? The plight of the orphan in our state today is very much swept under the rug. Matter of fact, by a show of hands, I'm going to do a poll. I like polls, I guess. By a show of hands, how many people have ever seen within the United States, not as an international missions trip, within the United States, how many have ever seen an orphanage? 3, maybe 4 people. Okay? That's because orphanages are very rare in the United States today. Back in the 70s, the Dr. Spock type of people that felt like the word orphan was such a bad word that that's what the Bible calls fatherless children. Okay? But the word orphan was such a bad word, we don't want to call them orphans anymore. Let's do this. Instead of taking them in an institution and calling them orphans, let's move them into a house and call them foster kids. That's right. Today, our orphanage, instead of being an institution buildings that we can say, look, there's an orphanage, they're now spread across the countryside in little homes called foster homes. Now, 70% of the kids in foster homes are there on a temporary basis. They've been removed from some situation. It could have been some sort of a domestic situation, or maybe there was an accident or something like that. But 70% of them actually do go back either to their original home or to a relative. Maybe parents were lost in an accident, and now they've got to wait for the brother to get back from Nigeria, or I mean, just different things that cause temporary housing situations. But a third of them, almost 30%, they don't have parents anymore. They're in foster homes, perhaps for the rest of their childhood. Many of them are. In the state of Washington alone, we have over 1,500 orphans. Now, when I use the word orphan, that's just the 30% who really don't have parents anymore. That's not the 70% that are in foster care. That's a much larger number. But actually, as of about a month ago, there was the number was 1,559, just over 1,500 legally free, adoptable children in the state of Washington. Now, a majority of them, about 80 to 85% of them, are between the ages of 5 and 17. If those children never find a home, they never find that unconditional love, they never get adopted, they've got a 73% chance within the next 6 years of graduating from adulthood or from childhood into adulthood, 73% chance of being either in jail, homeless, or dead in 6 years. So we have a window to reach these children between that 5 and 17 range and give them that kind of unconditional love they've never seen before. Not in a foster home that's temporary, but a permanent, forever loving home. Here's a worse statistic. 1,500 children in the state. Do you realize that we have over 5,000 churches in the state of Washington? 5,000 churches. Congregations ranging from a handful of people up to thousands of people. So wide range of sizes of churches, but 5,000 churches. If 30% of those churches just had one family step up to adopt, if 30% had one family step up to adopt, the foster kids in this state, the orphans in this state, would have a home, a Christian home. Then they would learn about two adoptions. They would learn about an earthly adoption, which we hope all of them learn about, and they would learn about the bigger adoption into Christ's family. And that we want them all to learn about. 30% of the church is one family. It's shocking to me. That's where Antioch steps in. Antioch says, we don't want to just get these kids into a home somewhere. We want them into a Christian home. We want them to learn about both types of adoption. And so Antioch Adoption screens our families and makes sure they are solid Christian families. So apparently you guys are solid. That's great. So we want to make sure part of that is that they have a good family around them, a good Christian church family around them to support them through what will be the biggest roller coaster of their life. Do you think if you set out to duplicate what God has done, when God adopts us, He sets an example. So if you step out and duplicate something God is doing, do you think the enemy's going to be happy? Probably not. So here's your warning. The roller coaster's about to begin. But it's a great ride. You'll scream, your hands are up in the air, oh my gosh, I used to have hair until I pulled it out. But you finish the ride, and you actually say, let's do it again. And people think you're nuts. Okay, we actually have, are we done? I don't know. Okay, we've gone back and forth and considered that. But I want you to just realize that that's what's going around. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Right? Well, that's the same thing with adoption. The harvest is plentiful. 1,500 kids. Ready today. But the workers are few. Workers being the families willing to adopt or the families willing to support the process. Okay? Don't know where God calls you on this. So, Antioch Adoption started 11 years ago. Back in 2000, the message and the idea and the passion came to Pastor Hutch back in 99, but the first adoption was 2000. He knew that something was messed up in our foster care system today, in the adoption process. Especially when his assistant stepped out to try and adopt a child. Now, anybody even know who Pastor Hutch is? I should ask that question. Okay, good number of hands go up. Okay, big black guy, used to play for the Seahawks. Okay. Has a white wife. His church is very multiracial, very multicultural. Okay? His assistant was also a white woman with a black husband. There were some agencies that turned them away because of that. That was in 1999, not 1960. Yes. They also found out that if you were going to adopt a white child versus a black child, the price was different. Yeah, so that kind of, a man who really truly represents what Martin Luther King said about, judge not by the color of your skin, right? And he really lives that out in his life. It kind of boiled his blood a little bit. So he prayed about it. Same thing I said. God, you have brought something to my heart. What should my response be? How should I step out and do this? Am I just supposed to help fund it? Do I need to go lobby Congress and change laws? What is it you want me to do? And he heard very clearly, I want you to start your own ministry. I want you to create the Christian version of what's out there in the secular world. Didn't exist before. And so, I know that Chris is one of the elders. There's different elders in here. So this question, I want you guys to think about this, because he came to his elders and said, I need $20,000 in cash. Would that be kind of an odd question to come to the elder for? Okay, I mean, it's a big church, but it's not that big. Okay? So, of course, they ask why, and he says, well, I actually want it in small bills as well. Now they get a little bit more suspicious. He said, bear with me. Here's what I want to do. I believe that God is asking us to start a ministry. And it takes, unfortunately, one tool to build another tool. It takes money to build a ministry. How do we get this tool and enough of it? We're going to teach the congregation the parable of the talents. We're going to teach the message that said the master gave different amounts out to his slaves, to his servants, and what they did with that to duplicate and multiply that money and those talents back. So he taught on this parable. And the ushers are standing at the doors with bags of money. $20,000 totaled all up. And people are walking out, taking a 50, taking a 100, taking 20. Their choice on what they felt comfortable to take. They only gave out $16,000. So they actually, even though they had the green cash sitting there, it didn't all go out the door. 6 months later, any guesses? You guys can't answer because you already know the answer. Any guesses at what they turned $16,000 into just 6 months later? Guesses means this is participation time. 100,000, 70,000. This is like an auction. Do I hear 70? Do I hear 75? $280,000. $280,000 in 6 months. Was that God's hand on a ministry? It was. The amen is right. That was amen. That was the seed money that started a ministry that had a couple of very simple principles. One, only Christian families. Two, we're never charging a dime. That money is just to pay for their staff to run the ministry. We're not charging a dime for anybody. And three, we're going to offer all the same services that every other adoption agency out there does. Get licensed with the state, you know, from start to finish, the full home study process, all the training. We're going to do it all. And we're not going to charge a dime. We're going to rely on people responding to James 1:27 and caring for the orphans in other ways. Some are coming to adopt. Some will support the ministry that helps them adopt. Some will pray for the ministry. Some will babysit the kids when they're in. You know, I don't know what your calling is. But that was 10 years ago. We've now placed over 300, or 11 years ago, 330 kids in Forever Families in that decade. There's 1,500 left, so we've got a long way to go. But we've come a long way as well. 330 families. Okay? Now, I don't know what your how God is touching you. I don't know of all the words I'm sharing. I'm way off my script. But I know that God leads me in to share whatever's need to be shared. So for some reason, someone in this room is being touched some way by what I'm communicating. I'm confident of that. And if that is to support through prayer, that's easy to do. If that is to support by volunteering, you can go to antiochadoptions.org and see what opportunities await there. If that is to support financially, you can donate right on site. As a matter of fact, one of our donors gave us $25,000 as a matching campaign for the month of October. So we promoted it, we got it on the site, we sent out emails, and we're like, hey, every dollar you give can turn to two. This is great. A week ago, out of $25,000, we had raised six. As of Friday, we had raised 23. We only have $2,000 left by tomorrow to get the full matching campaign. So if he's touched you for that way, then you can either give today or you can give on their website. I don't know how he's touched you for that. So as I recap on this, I do want to share a little bit of just a summary. Okay? We know that God has chosen us. He has selected us as His children, as His heirs, fellow heirs with Christ. That seems kind of weird to almost put us at equals with Christ in that regard. But we are. God has settled our debts. Our past doesn't matter. It's like the bump on Simba's head. It hurts, but it no longer reflects who we are in the future, if we make that choice. God calls us to care for the orphans, of which there's 1,500 in this state alone. How will you reflect God's will in our society today? How will you respond to what He calls you to today, or tomorrow, or the next day? How will He move you to act? Romans and Galatians reminds us that we've been adopted, that we are no longer bound by the sins of our slavery time. We are no longer bound by the sins of our past. We are His children. Thank you again. He made the choice to adopt us. Some of us are making the choice to adopt others. But please reflect what He has to say there. I'm going to close here with a prayer. I don't know how the stuff will finish up here with the worship or whatever. But we'll stick around after the sermon here today. If you guys have a question, if you want to just pray with us or one of the elders, if you have any questions or whatever. But if you did earlier today, if you made that prayer and you today were adopted, catch one of us, either myself or one of the elders. Share that good news. Let somebody rejoice with you. Let them help you, guide you with the next steps as well. Lord, thank You so much for the opportunity to share Your passion, Your vision, and Your will. Thank You for the chance to meet these great people, to pour out my heart and see how You would have them respond, Father. And Lord, thank You so much for adopting us, for bringing us into Your family, regardless of our past, despite our past, and making us Your own children. Thank You so much for that. Teach us how we can reflect that out in our society, how we can live that out in our day-to-day lives. And be with us as we leave here today. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Let's go out praising Him in song this morning. Please stand to your feet as we sing.
I know this is a terrible time for an announcement, but the elders would like you to pray. We have Tim Jack, who spoke with us in July, is going to be preaching from the middle of December, from the 15th through the 18th of January. A time for us to evaluate him and to see how our finances are and his as well. And so we encourage you to please pray for us and for that decision. And thank you, McLean. Very, very, very wonderful message. And now, this is 2 Thessalonians 2:18. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. May you be with Him throughout the rest of the day and through the week. Amen.